some people were meant to be married, but I don't know. I had an experience when I was 17 years old. It was 50 years ago this past summer, and I was living in Conway, so there was a family lived next door, and so this family, they had a, well, it was the lady's aunt, lady's niece that was staying there for the summer, and I was 17, and she was 14, and I was always scared to death of women. I was so shy. I would just panic if a girl looked at me. So I found out through my mother that she was interested in me. So one night we went to the Baptist church on a Wednesday night, and she went with us. And so as we were going in the door, I thought, my goodness, this is my chance. I asked her if she would sit by me, and she said, yeah. So we got interested in each other, but it's hard for me to believe that 17-year-olds could experience what I experienced. But at the age of 17 years old, I went through a severe depression. So I got in a pretty negative frame of mind, and I broke off the relationship. And she lived in Humphrey down around Stuttgart, and she wrote me back, and she said, well, let's talk this over. We can work it out. But I was just in such a negative frame of mind. So about 2 months later, I had to go to the psychiatrist. I was experiencing depression, and I've had a problem with depression in my life, but, you know, she, your first love, you know, that, of course, she was only 14, I was 17, so I guess it shouldn't have been so serious, but you still remember that first experience, you know, but, and love shouldn't be just based on attraction, but she was pretty, and then, And 3 years later, I visited the Hot Springs, and I met a blonde girl down there, and my goodness, I believe she was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. I believe she looked better than Marilyn Monroe. And I told her I was interested in her, but I went back to Conway, and we kind of drifted apart. But I guess the closest I ever came to being married was in 1970. I was almost 28. And there was a preacher there in Conway. He opened up a non-denominational Pentecost church. And so I decided I'd go. And so he had a daughter she had been married. She was divorced. So this was in April of 1970. So I had already made plans to go to Dallas, Texas in July of 1970 to go to school. So I didn't, she and I never got together. So I told the preacher, I said, well, this preacher, he was something else. He said the end was near, you know, in 1970, in the decades of the 1970s, and I found out later he was an alcoholic. He would tell some tall tales. He said he went down the woods and fasted for so many days, and God showed him this great vision of destruction coming to America in the decade of the 70s, and I believed him. I was just eating it all up. I said, well, Rector, reckon I should move to Dallas? And he said, yeah. I said, go ahead. So he had a son that wrote me, and we stayed in touch. Well, his daughter, from her brother, she got my address, and she started writing me. And in fact, she came to Dallas one weekend and visited me. And I could have married her, but I was from Conway. And I fell in love with Dallas, you know, a big city like Dallas. At the time, Conway was like 10,000 people. And so I wasn't in a hurry to get back to Conway. And we stayed in touch and wrote every week. But I waited too long, and she found somebody else. So I guess that was the closest I ever came to marriage. You know, my sister is 64, and she's been married twice. And she told her current husband, she said, well, she said, I'll never get married again. She told him, said, a woman doesn't have to have a man to be complete. And he said, well, where does that leave me? So I just felt like, you know, if God had wanted me to be married, he would, at 17, he wouldn't have put me through such a depressing experience. When I read Psalms, I can relate to some of the low points that David talks about, because I've been through some pretty dark times in my life, and although I think the older I get, I think the better, the brighter things are looking, you know. And so anyway, you know, I hope y'all don't look down on me, but I living 35 miles from church, you know, sometimes I have a struggle. I mean, I can't see to drive at night when it's raining. And last week they were talking about rain, and about 6 o'clock it started raining. I thought, my goodness, look what a mess I would have been in if I'd have gone to church today, because I just can't see at night when it's raining to drive. And so I'm glad I came today. I'm glad the Lord still works with us, because I got up this morning and I was feeling lethargic, and it was cold, and I was negative about coming down here today. And so I used to take vitamins regular, but I've about learned maybe some of these vitamins you buy in the store are not all that good. So I started taking bee pollen. I ordered it through the mail. It's granules, you know, and it's sort of powder granules. Well, it says take it 2 hours, 1 hour before you eat. Well, I couldn't get up and take it an hour before breakfast, so I thought, well, I've already had breakfast. I'll just take a couple of tablespoons of this bee pollen, and sure enough, I started feeling more energetic, so I'm sure glad I made it today. And since I stayed home last week, I watched Meet the Press, and usually that's a political show, but last week, since it was the Sunday after Thanksgiving, they had Rick Warren on there, and he wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life, and I didn't realize until I saw that show that his book, next to the Bible, was the number one selling book of all time. And I don't know, of course, he claimed on the show that he loves the Lord, he loves Jesus Christ, and he may be sincere, but one thing that impressed me about him, after all that money started coming in, he gave all the money back to his church that they had paid him over the years, and he's still driving, I think, an 8 or 10 year old vehicle. He still lives in the same house, and he's used that money to help people. So I respect him for that. I don't know what he believes, but I'm impressed that he, at least he didn't let the money go to his head. But anyway, I still read my Bible regular, and when I had that bad cold back, I guess it was October, for 2 weeks, I didn't feel like reading the Bible, and I've really gotten behind. But by reading 8 chapters a day, I'm making progress. And I was reading the other day in the Psalms, David said, lead me in the land of uprightness. And I was reading in the Psalms of the day, it said, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. So God puts us through enough stuff to be humble, you know. I mean, we have a lot of knowledge, but he puts us through enough humbling experiences to keep us, experiences to keep us humble. So y'all just bear with me. Even though I get a little discouraged sometimes driving down here, I still don't want to give up, and I'm thankful that the Lord got me out of my negative spirit today, and I made it.
Teaching service, and I really appreciated the thought that you brought about Abraham and Sarah. Now, I'm not going to talk on marriage. I mean, I got another thought, and I felt to say what I'm going to say. I mean, I didn't want it to look like I was flipping the conversation, but I really have really felt a testimony. You know how you do when you feel a testimony, and I like to feel a testimony, then that way I feel like that the Lord will assist me. And I don't like to just get up and talk just to be talking, but I know I'm not a smart person, and what I say probably don't mean a whole lot to you, but anyway, I like to feel the Lord when I speak. And but I really appreciated what you said today about Sarah and Abraham, and how that that they was trying to help God, and as we know that God told Sarah that she's going to have a child and all like that, and then told Abraham that they would have a child. And so, of course, we all know how the story goes, but the thing about it, that they wanted to do it their way, and Sarah, she just told Abraham that to use her handmaid, or whatever you call her. And so they did that, and they was trying to help God. And I thought, and when you were speaking today, that in my experiences, since I've lived for God, I've had the baptism of the Holy Ghost since I was 14 years old, and I've been in church all this time and scarcely have missed church. I mean, I've been a church-going person because I've always loved the Lord, and the Lord has dealt with me, and I don't try to get away from Him, but I can't get away from Him, and because He's always been real to me, and I've been God-conscious, and but I've seen many times, like you spoke today, how that people try to help God do things, and it won't work, because God is going to, He's going to have His way. Regardless what anybody does or what they say or what happens in the world. I told my husband the other day, we was talking, I said, well, one thing about it, God has got a plan, and it's going to be His way or else. And no, whatever any of us can do, or the ministry, or anything, of the religious world or whatever they do, it's going to be God, because in the end of things, He's going to have His way. It's His kingdom that He's raising, and it's going to be like He wants it, or else. And so I thought today, as you were speaking about how that Abraham and they tried to help God, but it didn't work out, and all. And we know this, as I say, during my experiences of living for God down through time, I've seen many things happen that people tried to help God and do things what they thought was God, but it didn't turn out to be God. And as they say, if you just wait a little while, Mr. Truth will come along after a while. I've always heard that saying, and it's true. And I thought of a story that I heard one time, and it's got a good thought to it. Always really enjoyed the thought. This man, I don't really know all of the details of the story, but the essence of it is good. And this man had done something, and they was going to prosecute him. And you know, in the Bible days, they had riddles, that if they could work out a riddle, well, then they would be free of something. And so that was this case. This man, they told him, they said, well, they put a real rose, I mean, they put a silk rose and a real rose. And they told him, they said, if you will tell us which one of these roses are real, then we will lift whatever this situation that was he was being persecuted for. But anyway, he watched and he watched, and he looked at those roses, and they looked so much alike that nobody could tell them apart. And he come right down to the last minute, and he thought, well, what am I going to do? They both looked so much. He looked at them and looked at them to see if he could see any difference whatsoever. But he couldn't. He just couldn't. And the last minute, he thought, what am I going to do? And so after a while, here come a little bee. And nobody's seen this little bee except this man. And he thought, there is my answer. And so the little bee went into the silk rose, and it didn't stay but a few minutes. It come out. And it went to the real rose, and it stayed, and it stayed, and it stayed. And he said, there's my answer. There is the real rose. And, of course, nobody seen it but him. And he said, well, I've got your answer. And they said, oh, you do? And he said, yes. And then he said, that's the real rose. And so I thought, it pays to watch for the little bee. You know, that's what I got out of it. I want to watch for the little bee because, that bee went down there because, you know, there's pollen that they get out of the flowers like that. And it stayed and it stayed. And he said, oh. And I can just imagine how wonderful that he felt watching that little bee. You think, oh, you saved my life. You saved my life. And I thought of all the times that people try to do things that thinking it's God. But, you know, after a while, they'll show up. And so if we would just be patient, whatever that has come up before us all down through life, if you just watch, as the saying goes, Mr. Truth will come along after a while. So I often think about this little story, and I thought, well, Lord, help me to always watch for the little bee, because the little bee knew what it was doing. It knew the real from something that wasn't real. So, but I'm thankful. I am so thankful for this people. I'm thankful for the words that we hear from time to time that even though it cuts us, that brings life to our soul. And I appreciate this gospel. I mean, I really do appreciate it. And I'm so thankful. I think, Lord, I put myself down. I really do. I've always put myself down. But I thought, Lord, I'm glad that you knocked at my heart's door, that you give me a chance for this. And as I say, I'm not a smart person, but I'm glad that I'm smart enough that I've seen this. And I know more than I can tell you. But anyway, it's in here somewhere. It's in here. But I thank the Lord for what he's doing for us, and I appreciate his people. I appreciate the ministry, and I pray for the ministry every day. Lord, help your people and help the ministry to, and right now I know that we're going through some things, and I pray that the Lord will deal with our ministers, and I know he does, and to lead us in the right way. And Brother Smith, I appreciate you because you're really been playing with us and telling us some things, and I thought, thank the Lord, we need that, you know. And we've got to face the truth. If we want to go with God, we've got to face the truth, and we've got to do things right and be right, and if we make it. And so, I mean, I know that. I know it. I thought, Millie, you just know the truth. And, girl, if you want to make it, you better straighten up and keep going straight. So, I mean, I know that's just the way it is. And so, but I thank the Lord. And I thought, too, how that we talk about not being ashamed of this gospel. Harlan and I was talking the other day, and I said, well, the world out here, they do anything they want to, and that's okay. But we should not be ashamed of the gospel or the way that we live, the way that we dress, or whatever, because look how they look. Just look how they look and how they do. And I thought, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I don't mind. I'm not ashamed to tell anybody how I believe. I don't preach to people or anything like that. If they're hungry, I'll give them a few crumbs, and then bring them to where they can get the whole loaf. But nevertheless, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I'm not ashamed of the way that I live. I'm not ashamed of the way I dress. And if they want to know why I dress like I do, I've got a good answer for them. And so, anyway, God is so good, and I love this gospel. I'm so happy. I want to say proud. You know, I have a hard time not using that word every once in a while, because what I mean now, I don't mean proud, you know, like really proud. I just mean, anyway, I'm thankful. So anyway, God is so good to us, but I really love and I appreciate this gospel, and I thank the Lord that we're hearing the things that will save our soul, and that's what we're here for. We're not here just to have a place to go or to see or be seen. But we're here to get our souls saved, and so I'm so thankful that we're in the making. So praise his name.
learned in all that happens just to praise Him. For I know He's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment. For I know He'd see me through, He said He would. He has promised eye nor ear can hardly fathom all the things He has in store for those who pray. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that He'd open all of heaven. And brother, this could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray, well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. I have noticed all the bad news in the papers, and it seems like things are bleaker every day. But for this child of God, it makes no difference, because it's bound to get better either way. I have never been more thrilled about tomorrow. Sunshine's bursting through the skies of gray. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. Yes, I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that He'd open all of heaven. And brother, this could happen any day. And when God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray, well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that He'd open all of heaven. And brother, this could happen any day. And they look to heaven expecting as they pray. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. I have learned in all that happens just to praise Him. For I know He's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment. For I know He'll see me through, He said He would. He has promised eye nor ear can hardly fathom all the things He has in store for those who pray. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Oh, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that He'd open all of heaven. And brother, this could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray, well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. I have noticed all the bad news in the papers, and it seems like things are bleaker every day. But for this child of God, it makes no difference, because it's bound to get better either way. I have never been more thrilled about tomorrow. Sunshine's always bursting through the skies of gray. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, this could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. Yes, I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, this could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting as they pray. Well, I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, this could be that very day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm thankful tonight for the day we're living in, and I'm glad for services like tonight as well as today. You know, God's always trying to teach us something. He's always giving us something that's, and you can't shut him up in a box. He'll break out of it. If he's got many ways that are not man's ways. And so I appreciated even the thoughts. I got some history on Brother Paul and Sister Ann. And you know, God will put it in a man's mind to pray for a woman's furnace to break down. And the Lord does. The Bible talks about there are eunuchs. There are those that aren't that God. There's eunuchs that are made eunuchs of the Lord. God calls some people to be celibate or not be married. He makes them satisfied with that. They may be some women complete without a man, but there's not very many. There ain't very many men complete without women either. But there are some. God calls some people to that calling. Then there's eunuchs that are eunuchs made of men. There's organizations, and there's even nations that I think the monks are eunuchs, aren't they? That there's different groups and different religious groups that won't marry. They give themselves wholly to what they feel and believe in. And but even in God's kingdom, the Lord's had eunuchs. Jesus didn't marry. Paul never married. There were men and women that felt the calling of the Lord, that they were to be stayed upon the things of God. But then there are those that God knew that needed to marry. And so I feel like the Lord deals with people who needs a spouse and helps them to have the right spouse. Because even Paul said that even widows, you know, after their husbands die, said if they can't contain, if they're not able to feel, that I don't need a husband, said let them marry, because it's better for them to marry than to burn in desire for a husband. That they'd have a desire that they couldn't overcome. And so God saw that and put it in the mind of his ministry to tell the people, go ahead and get married. But then there's a time, Paul said in the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, dealing with that, he said, they were right in the last days of the Jewish world. And he said, let them that are married be as though they're not. There'll come a time in this that all of us will be, when we get right down in the end of time, that God's, the Lord will come so close and be finishing, putting those finishing touches on those that are striving for the bride, that they'll give over, they'll give one another over to the Lord and let one another. There's some things Paul showed there in marriage that you're not to defraud one another. You're to consider one another, be considerate, and realize that each of you may have needs of one another's comfort and affection. But there will come a time, he was showing, that you would be willing, that God would suffice that in your life, and you'd be willing to let that go for the purpose of fully and completely trying to seek God's will in your life and for God to finish the work that he started in you. So, we all have to be content in our calling. We all have a different calling. And, if you have a desire to be married, well, you're probably supposed to be married. But if you don't, well, then I wouldn't. Paul said that. He said, if you don't have a wife, don't seek one. It is, if you can contain that way. But if you can't, then you need a spouse. So God, he works that out in people's hearts. Sometimes when we talk on these things, and preachers talk on them, sometimes it may make it sound like to people who aren't married that we're saying they need a spouse. Or what happened to others, somebody else needed to happen to them, and vice versa. And sometimes someone may get, in their testimony may feel like that, given their testimony of how God helped them to feel content to just serve the Lord and don't feel a need for a spouse. And, others may feel like, well, maybe I should be that way. Well, you have to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. You've got to find God's will for your life, and we have to be understanding enough to realize that God has a calling for each of us, and we have to abide in our calling and abiding in his will and direction for each one of us. So the Lord has this is a big plan God has. It's a big, big project, and we all fit in it somewhere, and that's the thing. We're looking for our place where God wants us to work. And many of us have found a place to work in the church, labor, where we are to all have a willingness and a openness to let God deal with us. I believe that. I believe if you're serving God and you've got a tender heart towards him, you might say, God, I've been through enough pain in my marriage that you'll have to speak out of heaven loud and call my name to get me to think about marrying again. But did you know God knows how to get your attention? If I believe that God knows how. I might be adamant thinking, I've made up my mind to a certain thing, but if God's will is different from me, he knows how to talk to me. And I've been tender enough and humble enough to let him change me on a lot of things. So I've got confidence he can change me even on things that I don't think I can change on. And I don't necessarily need any help. God don't need any help is what I meant to say. Not me, I need help, but God don't. He knows how to do it, don't he? So thank God for how he works with each of us, and thank God for every member in how he works with them, and how their part is so special and so needed. I can't think of anybody in here. There's not anybody in here, as a matter of fact, that we don't need. We need everyone's part. We need everyone to do their part, and everyone to play their take their part. There's something everyone in here can deposit in others' lives that is needful. And these services, I remember when I came here, I thought, boy, this is the most different thing I've ever been in my life. Well, y'all would just sit and just let, you know, I'd think, God, somebody do something. And I was thinking nothing was being done, but there was things for me to learn that I wasn't aware of before. One was how to follow the Spirit, how to be led of God's Spirit in a service. A young church, when it first starts out, doesn't know how to look for the Spirit of God and lead a service into a channel. They don't know how to find a channel or even look for it. They're not even looking for a channel. But that's something an assembly has to grow into, isn't it? And then to watch a, you know, we've learned how to watch services and see God working in a service, but also see a service need something. And sometimes, I appreciate what Sister Crow said, to have a feeling. You know, get your feelers out and see whether or not. But there are times, I will tell you this as a minister, there's times when I don't feel anything, but I see a service needs help. And I know that I know enough about, you know, trying to feel on God, trying to find the Spirit. And sometimes I just see somebody's got to do something, and I'll just get up and go to work. I thank God, I don't know if I can hit it or not, but I know something needs to be done. And I'll get up and go to work and feel. And if I don't feel like I hit the channel here pretty soon, I'll find my seat. I'll back up and sit down and let somebody else try. But sometimes I think God lets us have services where he's testing us to see. See whether or not we can get out in the channel, locate the channel. I know the Lord does it. I've heard our elders talk about it. I've watched it work in services. And so God gives us so many experiences and so many practical applications that we go home sometimes and say, God, what about that service? What about this service or that service last week? Should I have done something? I didn't feel to do nothing. And, And I think we need the Holy Ghost, but sometimes it's like praying for certain things. You know, there's certain things I don't need to pray about. I don't need to pray. Like, we've got a minister's meeting this week. I didn't ask God if he wanted me to go to that. I just know I'm supposed to be there. I didn't pray about it. I've been praying about the meeting. I've been meditating on it. And I just know the brethren are meeting, and I know it's important for this church that I be there. And that I get the mind of the brotherhood and know what's going on in the general body of Jesus Christ. So I didn't pray about that. I just said, God, I know I need to be there. And I'm going. I had my mind made up that when I saw it on the list. I just knew right then that's a meeting. You know, there's another one next month. I know I'm going to Brownsville, Texas, the 26th of January. I'm going down there. Unless something was to happen that the Lord would show that, I think that can happen too, but as a general, in a general sense. And so there's some things that we don't have to pray to try to get the mind of God. We already know the mind of God on some things. And so we just have to start in and see how the Lord leads us in it. I don't know if I'm going to say anything in this meeting, but I'm going and I'm willing to say something if the Lord was to inspire me to. I'm willing to say something Sometimes I've even found this, not when I was younger, but now, there's times in meetings that I know, you know, I can see we're working on something. I don't feel necessarily too strong, but I see that there's something needs to be done right here, and I can see if I can help. And I know how to back up. I know how to find my seat. If I start talking and God doesn't assist me and I see that I'm not being used of God, but that ought to be all of our desires when we get on our feet, and I believe that it is. But we're still in training, aren't we? That's one of the things that I see, that God, there's more that God is going to do with us. Before long, when the Lord begins to wrap up this work, God begins to give greater inspiration than we've ever had, and a greater happening begins to take place. I'm thankful that we still have some great times in God and great anointings and great services, but I know there's something coming in the future that we've never experienced. And there'll be things in that what we're going, some of the things God's training us for will help us then, down then. There'll be people coming in, and there'll be services we'll have to get a hold of. Somebody that has some training will have to get a hold of some things, because you'll see that people, you know, we got more people in here. I wonder what it was like after the day of Pentecost when 3,000 people came in that really didn't have the vision that the 120 had. You think the 120 was busy? I think they got busy. And I think all of a sudden everybody had a lot to do. They had somebody sitting next to them or in the row next to them. They heard people talking and they thought, boy, I got to help Sister So-and-so and Brother So-and-so, you know, because he's thinking wrong and I got to help him. All these people, the ministry up there, never will get around to talking to all of them. If I don't help these people, they're not going to get some help. And then those services, no telling what took place in those. I'm sure they were high, but I'm also sure that there were some services where the order of God began to be laid out, that they had some solemn assemblies. People got pretty quiet when they heard some things that was taught. And so I know that when I read some of Paul's letters, I know that there was some, there was a lot of adjustments that took place and things that happened. So I'm thankful. No wonder they called this the school of the prophets. We're still in school. Brother Parker, I put Brother Parker in as the pastor in Republic. And I told him, I said, that's going to be a little red schoolhouse for you. Well, I guess he thought I meant, you know, you're just in kindergarten, so you need a little red schoolhouse. But I didn't mean it that way. He told somebody, he said, I don't know if I'm going to need a little red school. Well, I got news. We're all still in a little red schoolhouse. We're all still in a school. When it comes to what God's got ahead in the future, we're going through quite a schooling that the Lord has. And I'm so thankful for it. I'm so thankful for what God's gave this ministry to give us. Not just the messages, but the following of the Spirit and the watching how services operate and how the Holy Ghost works. And you know, just like I was watching some of y'all tonight. Some of you was thinking, God, you want me to do something? You know, I appreciate that we're sitting here feeling on the Lord to see. And then I still think God gives us some services where He don't show up real strong. I think, I don't mean that about this service that God wasn't here, because I felt the Lord in this service and some good things were said. But I'm just saying that I do think there's still some, We still have some services where the Lord don't show up like as strong or as great in other services, and maybe some not at all. Because I think He wants us to still know the difference. And and be patient enough to have to wait on Him. I'm actually thankful for that. I didn't get that from where I came from in religion. They didn't allow that to happen. They didn't allow that to work. They didn't even teach the people to look and know when God is working and when He's not. And when He did, what did He do? You know, I think that, you know, I said some things this morning about marriage to our young people, and different ones picked up on it. Things were said that showed that this teaching that we've had is, it works. And our young people need to know that. They need to know that they need to look for God's will. And even in the body of Christ, and I'm not going to talk very much longer, but here, and even in the body of Christ, our young people can marry in the body and still be unequally yoked. There's new people coming in. There's people coming in. Just because they're in the body don't mean that they're fair game, so to speak. But it means, you know, I'm looking in the right area to look in the body of Christ. I want one of God's children from my spouse. But at the same time, I want the one that God shows me that would be the helpmate that He chooses for me. Don't you think God could help you to know which is the right person of all the boys and girls out there in the body if God's called you to have a spouse? I wonder sometimes how many young people even think about not having one. You know, I don't know. I've mentioned that little story, what I did to that brother up in Canada. When I asked him, I said, who started this deal of everybody having a bunch of kids? You know, I thought about this. Who started the deal that everybody's supposed to get married? You know, somewhere along the line, we're going to have to think about not married. You know, if you weren't thinking about that, what would you do with your life? Why don't you do that with your life until God sends you the right person? Why get in a big hurry? There's no, you know, sometimes girls feel like that they're going to be an old maid if they don't hurry up and find somebody. It's a terrible thing that I've got friends that got married at you know, 17, 18, 19 years old. And here I am, 19 or 20, and I'm not even married. Well, whoop-de-doo. I've got news for you. You can catch up quick on the marrying part. And the older you get, the more mature you get, the better you'll be able to adjust to marriage. In the Dominican Republic, anybody over there generally get married till they're way up in their 20s. You know why? Because they don't have jobs. You know, if a boy's in a house and he don't have a job, he can't rent a home. Brother Green and Brother Elias both got boys. You know, Joel's 19, but ¿cuántos años accomplished Juan Elias? 23. He's 23 years old. Sister Jamilka's 21. Brother Barnabas, he's I think he's younger than her. He's 20. But those boys ain't even thinking about getting married. They don't because they can't provide a living. They can't go rent a house. They can't buy a car. And most of their parents has already told them, you ain't getting married and coming in here and having a bunch more kids. I can't afford you, much less four or five more like you. Just forget that out of your head. They pretty well understand that. So most of them up in their 20s, even late 20s. They're that way in Haiti too. It's because they have to pray. They're not praying for a spouse. They're praying to God that they can get a job that they can support themselves. And we're spoiled in America. you know, we're still, even though America's going through a great economical challenge right now, it's still a great country to live in, saints. There ain't a one of us that can't come up with $2.50 or even $4 for we didn't slow down very much at all when gas went to $4. We're still going out to eat. If you think we're in such a bad place economically, just drive down around any restaurant any evening of the week around 6 or 7 o'clock and you can't find a parking place. This country ain't near as broke as they're letting on to make us think that it is. There's still, you know, a lot of money in this country, and there's still a lot of opportunity, and I encourage you as a people of God to take advantage of the opportunity while it's here. There, times will get tougher in the future for God's people. America is going to thrive as a nation, but it the people aren't going to thrive in it. It's going to be hard on the people. They're going to tax you to death before it's over with, and they're going to have laws that they're going to rule and regulate. The government's going to get into everything we're doing. And life is complicated in a world like we're living in, but God's still got great opportunity out here for us. And with the teaching that we have and the good word of God and the order of God that we've got great opportunity to take advantage of it and get God's help to help us accomplish great things so that we can be used more of Him. Amen. So I wanted to mention, pray. Let's pray for this sister that was here this morning. Brenda Howard is her name. She's just moved down here from Michigan, retired from General Motors a year and a half ago, 32 years with them. And she's looking for a church. And she comes out of the full gospel Pentecostal churches. And she liked what she felt this morning. Enjoyed our charity and reaching out to her. So remember her name, Brenda Howard. Be praying for her, and let's hone in on her. Let's make her not only feel welcome, let's invite her. Some of you invite her out to dinner, over to your house. See what you can do for her. See what you can do to help her. Get her phone number and her address and reach out to her. But be prayerful about that if you would. Don't, you know, try to get a feeling from the Lord. We want to win souls. We don't want to, and then try to work some in order about that. Don't, you know, at least let me know something so I know who's dealing with her and what's going on, because, you know, I mean, if there's 15 people trying to go over to their house all the same day, that might be too many. You know, I might be able to tell you, look, there's somebody else already working with them right now. Won't you wait till next week or something? You know, I mean, it's okay to give her a call or something, but I do want us to really reach out to people and not just let them come and visit. I think y'all do a wonderful job when people come in the door, greeting them, making them feel comfortable and welcome. But I think we need to follow up. Go see them. Call them. Write them. I will too, but I know that the people, it means a lot to people when people reach out to people when they come around. I just believe God is getting people ready to hear this message. And, you know, this morning I was a little bit concerned that I may be putting out too big a loaf for her. But it seemed like she was enjoying it. And then there was others here that I felt like needed some of what, and I was trying to work in the inspiration that God was giving me, but at the same time not be too lengthy or go too deep or too far on some of it. So pray with me about Sister Brenda Howard. I think I told my wife is Brenda Norman when we went downstairs. I thought, man, not another Brenda Norman. That's going to be difficult. But it's Howard. So, but keep her in your prayers. Amen. And this week, if you would, pray for the ministers' meeting in Louisville. This could be a very important meeting. I'm you know, I'm just feeling like the Lord could have something special for us that we're not even thinking in the direction that He might have for us. And I'm interested in seeing what God does right now. This is a unique time in the body of Christ. And I want to keep my ears open to what the Spirit is saying to the church, and my eyes. I'm wanting God to touch me and let me see what He's doing. And if He makes, you know, adjustments or does something that you know, I need to see it. I need to hear it. I need to know the voice of God. He said, "My sheep know my voice, and no other voice will they hear." Well, I would like to get fixed that way, that I couldn't be deceived by any voice but that of my Lord, that I knew His voice, and that when, you know, Sister Crow, I knew the bee. I could watch for the bee. Nobody else could fool me. You couldn't say. Jesus said in the last days, they'll say, "Lo, I'm here, I'm there, I'm in a secret place." He said, "Don't go there. I won't be there." Well, He was talking about back there, but the same thing, it takes place here. It'll take place down here in the end of our world. Praise God. All right, so let's be prayerful about these things and keep praying this week, if you would, for those that are sick and out. Brother and Sister McGowan, Brother Phil Fisher is feeling sick today, and Elisha's sick too. He's had a little stomach virus. Brother Zach, all right, let's remember him. Brother Daniels. All right. So we've had several that are sick. Sister Angie's back. She's really having trouble with her back. Keep her in your prayers. Yes, Sister Brittany had that accident today. I think she's all right. She's just sore and probably shook up some. Yes, Sister Abraham. All right. I was asking somebody about her today. Keep her in your prayers. I missed her being in service today. Yes, Brother and Sister Weaver, keep them in your prayers. Brother Ron Johnson, he feels like God's dealing with him more than he has before. And he's been wanting me and him to get together and have dinner or something. He wants to get a greater understanding. Be praying for him. Brother Michael Smith's got an offer on his house that they're trying to work out. Pray. Let's pray God to help him get that done. Brother and Sister Durham are in California this week, visiting his parents. Pray for their safe journey. They'll be coming back. They won't be back till a week from tomorrow. And they're going to start, Brother Durham said, hitting it hard to try to find jobs and get situated here. So keep them in your prayers. Mr. Brenda Norman's moving back and going back to work here before Christmas, so keep her in your prayers. We got a lot to pray for, don't we? All right. And keep praying for Brother and Sister Dodson. Wouldn't you like to see them get where they could be in service on a regular basis? God would touch her hearing in a way that she could get more out of service. Pray for her. Let's pray that God would touch her in a special way. All right. Aunt Susie's still here. She's going home, I guess, tomorrow. Is that right? Safe journey, yes. And God watch over them. Appreciate her being here and all of her help to us. The pies and the biscuits and the gravy. We promise we won't work you. If you keep coming, we won't work you all the time. Just part of the time. Praise God. All right, let's stand. Ask God to go with us. Thank Him for His goodness and His touch on our lives. Thank You, Lord God, for Your goodness. Oh, Lamb of God, I love You, Lord. I appreciate Your goodness to us. Oh.